All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay, and I am your host. I'm doing this podcast on a Monday morning. I have three podcasts that I'm doing today. I'm doing my own, and then I'll be doing Greg Warren's podcast, The Consumers, and then I'll be doing Nate Land all today. So a lot of talking today. I typically don't record on Monday, but tomorrow I'm headed off to Gulf Shores for a week with my family. So that's very exciting. We never take vacations. I think the last vacation we took was, I don't know, over 2 years ago. Daisy couldn't walk, and Sam was not even born. So now we've done things where if I have to go away to a place, sometimes I'll take the family, but not very often, and not any real vacation. So this is a real one where we're going to get to relax. My sister and brother-in-law are joining us. So hopefully we get some real relaxing time, because when I come back, we're back at it. I mean, we're back full speed ahead. A lot going on. You'll get tired of hearing it, but Netflix coming out July 29th. I just want to make those announcements so that, you know, that's out there. But I'm pumped. July 4th just passed, and it has confirmed something that I've thought for a long time now, but I wasn't sure that I really wanted to voice it. And I don't know if I've ever done it on this podcast. I know that I wanted to last year. I know that I wanted to the year before that, but I don't know that I did. But I hate fireworks. I hate them now. I think this is too much. It's too much fireworks. When I was growing up, I lived in the trailer park, and this is what I would get. I would get bottle rockets, usually two Roman candles and black cats. But that's mainly what we had, was bottle rockets and black cats. And the black cats would go on way too long, and I'm sure people got annoyed with me because, you know, some we would set off in the pack to where it would sound like a machine gun went off. But I like to separate them because that was all I had. So if you set the whole pack off, it was gone. I like to break it down into individual little pieces, and then I would use it to blow up things, you know. I would set a G.I. Joe on top, or I wasn't really cruel with animals, but I remember guys telling me they would put a black cat in a frog's mouth. I was like, what? I loved frogs. I never would do that. But we would, just blow up little things. It was fun. And I really enjoyed that. But that's all we had. We had bottle rockets, went pew, pow, and then it popped. And that was it. That was really it. Now it just feels like everybody has the big fireworks show. Like we would go, you know, back then it would be like, hey, do you want to go to the high school and watch the fireworks show? And that would be the big show. But now everybody, it feels like everybody in the neighborhood has the big show. In my house, fortunately, it didn't wake up my kids, so I was okay with it. But I remember hearing people say that someone has PTSD and that the fireworks could trigger them, you know, and I thought, well, that's ridiculous. But then as I was laying here on the 4th, I thought, as the fireworks went well on into the night, I'm like, I don't have any idea what war is like, and I don't know what PTSD is like, but I was like, it sounds like a war is going on outside. I live in a neighborhood, and there was fireworks from every direction. And I do like watching a fireworks show. You know, a fireworks display is really fun, but I just think it's out of control. I don't want them to be illegal. I don't want people to not be able to do them, But I just, and especially when they'll also have fireworks on the 3rd and you'll also have them on the 5th, it's like, give it a rest, guys. Give it a rest. Especially when I read something one time where it was like the founding fathers, for the celebration of the 4th, they wanted people to fire off guns and shoot them. But I'm like, you know, at that time there were way less people, way less neighborhoods, way less. And I'm not telling anybody not to do it. I'm just complaining about it. Because it was, I was like, this is wild. And I don't, you know, as you know, I'm not a huge fan of dogs, so I don't really care. But I did read a meme. I lost the meme, but it was like, showed like this little yapping dog. And it was like, suddenly the little yapping dog doesn't like loud noises. And I think that's funny. I'm just not into it. And I also feel like we're like celebrating freedom when everything's like too expensive to live. Like, I don't know. It's wild. It's wild. I'm not trying to complain about the country. As always, I love living in America. I love the country. But man, it's like everywhere you turn, it's like there's new cost and you're being fined for this and that. Like I got a letter in the mail where I'm being charged $30 because I used some road somewhere in Colorado in a rental car, and apparently that road cost me $30. And I had no idea. I didn't even know I was on the road. But they're just sending that in the mail going, hey, you use this road that we're telling you that you built with your tax money. But because you use that, that cost you more money. I do support the express lane in cities because I think if you live in some high traffic city, it's nice to have a lane where they go, hey, if you pay a little extra, you can use this lane. So I do support it, but I just think things are not often clearly marked, so you don't know what you're doing, and then you just get a fine in the mail, like toll bridges. I hate toll bridges. There's one that's going from Louisville into Indianapolis or into Indiana, and I don't know which way. I think they took the toll down one way, but you still hit it the other way. And originally they said that the toll bridge was to help pay for the bridge, or the toll was to help pay for the bridge. So I kept getting all these fines. Anytime I go that way, I get all these fines. And then, the annoying thing is they don't have a toll booth. It's like, at least give me the option. I don't mind pulling up to the booth, giving you a little money. But what I don't like is when I have to drive, I just drive through, and then you send me a letter in the mail and I get charged for it. And then you charge me an additional fee for the convenience of being able to pay. They have the nerve to call it a convenience fee. If it were like, what's convenient is a toll booth. But they said it was to pay for the bridge. And so I got on the phone one time and I was talking to this lady and I go, well, how close are we to paying off the bridge? And she didn't know. This lady doesn't know any of the answers, but she was trying to humor me. And I go, it just seems like it's been there a long time and they probably raised a lot of money. I just want to know, you know, how close are we to paying off the bridge and ending the toll? She goes, well, this bridge is, you know, these tolls will go to maintaining the bridge now. And I go, well, how are all the other bridges being maintained? And she didn't have any answers for that either. She did humor me though, and I appreciated it because she just works there. I wasn't yelling at the lady; I was just asking questions. But yeah, we just get charged for everything every time you turn around, everywhere you go. Every time I go to the grocery store, it feels like every time I go, like we'll be like, let's just pop in and get a couple of things. It's $100. You know, we don't do these huge shopping trips where, but it's just like it feels like every time you pop in. $100. And I'm just like, jeez. And, but we're out here shooting fireworks for freedom. And I just think we need, like, if we all, like, reined it in and been like, how do we get some of our freedom back? Like, I just see all these memes about it, but it feels like, you know, I don't know. I just hate taxes. I hate taxes so much. I hate all of them. I hate taxes and fees, and they're just hitting them with us everywhere you turn around. It's unbelievable. That's why I'm always talking about not trying to nickel and dime people at comedy shows, because I don't want to do that. I have merch available, and I try to make sure my merch is cool and comfortable. That way people will want to buy it because they're cool things. But I don't push it. I'm not out here trying to push it because I don't. I've seen comics in the past, not any at a huge professional level, but I've seen, well, some, that just really like, they just milk it. They really like on stage, they really want to press you into buying stuff. I'm not into that. I used to have a great merch pitch when I was featuring on the road. And even as I started to headline, I had a good merch pitch, but eventually I stopped doing the merch pitch. But the pitch was just really jokes, and that's why I like to do it. But I was selling my own merch, so I wanted people to know that I was going to be out there. I didn't want to be standing by myself over there. Yeah, nickel and diamond people, it's insane. I appreciate you listening to my little fireworks rant there. It didn't wake up my kids, so it was okay. But, man, I just can't believe how big everybody's fireworks display is. It's like all around me in the neighborhood, it was like explosions. And at least it was a Friday night this time too. And I'm not trying to be a prude about the whole thing. I think there's some people that relate with me on this. I hope there is. But I know people love fireworks because of the amount of explosions going on out here. But it's just every year. My one neighbor got mad at my other neighbor for, he's like, my whole car is covered with like this dust because of your fireworks show. And then there'll be little pieces of paper all over the neighborhood from where the explosions are happening for, you know, the next 6 months. And then it scares off all my birds. I saw a bird frantically flying through the air, and I just hate doing that. I'm into nature now. I've turned into a real hippie, and I'm into nature, and I've had, on two occasions, I had doves nesting near my house, and after the fireworks, the doves were gone. And I'm just all about the peace and tranquility, right? And it's like, maybe if this didn't happen twice a year, it does happen. So every 6 months, roughly, we're getting a new explosion of fireworks. We're getting, New Year's, and then, you know, 4th of July. I just think we need to put our focus into figuring out how we get people to lower all of the fees. I mean, when our new mayor of Nashville came in, on the docket when I went to vote in the election was a something to raise taxes for some reason. And I thought, well, no way. Nobody's going to vote for that. No one's going to vote to raise taxes for whatever this guy wants to do. And they did. It passed. I don't even know what he wanted to do. They're like, it's just a half a cent. And I'm like, yeah, it's a half a cent here. It's a half a cent there. And then before you know it, your taxes are sky high because they nickel and dimed you all the way. Anytime anybody's talking about raising taxes at all, I'm always like, why would we vote for this? Why would we say yes to this? It's going to affect you. It may not seem like it's going to affect you, but it's going to affect you. I'm sorry for this rant about taxes. But it's just insane. Everywhere you go. I do have good news. I do have happy news. I finished watching Cobra Kai. I don't know if you guys are into the Netflix series Cobra Kai, but I recommend it. I think it's amazing. It's, you know, it's like, it seems like it's for kids, but there's a lot of foul language in it. So it's not really for kids. depending on how old they are. But I don't feel like it's too bad. I mean, I don't know. I guess it can be pretty bad at times. It doesn't bother me. I'm just giving a warning for people that have kids. I think the show's awesome. I remember the Karate Kids well. Three, I don't remember that well. And I remember the next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank, I think it was, which didn't really get mentioned in the show, I don't think. But they do a really good job of flashing back to all of those movies in the Cobra Kai series. And I'll just tell you a little bit. I mean, I was into it when YouTube was trying to use Cobra Kai to promote YouTube Red. And it opens with Johnny Lawrence, who was the bad guy in the first Karate Kid movie. It opens with him, and you see that his life since that time has gone down the drain. His life's just been a total wreck. And then he sees a kid getting picked on in front of, some store, and he beats the other kids up. And it like fuels him. And he's like fired up now. And so he restarts his old dojo, Cobra Kai. And then you also see Daniel LaRusso, who was the Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio. You see that his life has taken off. His life is unbelievable. He has a car dealership that he owns, a high-profile car dealership. He's very wealthy. And you see that throughout the show, that he's wealthy and Johnny is struggling. But we go through six seasons, and I just think it's a perfect show. I loved it all the way through. It gets a little campy at times. At other times, you're like, I'm just watching a show about high school karate. I got brought in by an old rivalry and nostalgia from my childhood, and now I'm watching high school karate. But it really, I don't know, it just got me. It's well done. It is Hollywood magic, where they know how to bring up your emotions and get you emotionally invested, which is why I don't like watching Netflix shows, honestly. But this one was worth it. There are so many that when you get to the end, it felt like they never had a plan from the beginning. By the time you felt like they had a plan for one season, and then they were amazed that they made it to season two. And so when you get to season two, when you get to the end, you're like, what did I even just watch? But not Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai ended, I didn't, some of the things I saw coming as they started to develop, but I didn't see them coming from the beginning. And it ended just exactly the way it should have ended. And it was also like, I'm not trying to ruin it for you, but it's happy endings all around. And, but the happy endings don't always come the way you expect. And that's a nice thing, too, where it's like, you don't necessarily know what's happening, because they use the analogy of Rocky won at some time, where it's like Rocky lost the match, but he won in life. And so you don't know exactly what's going to happen, and there's several competitors. So it does take a lot of twists and turns, but in the end, you just feel good. And I've just been thinking about it since then. I don't want to do karate. It's not made me want to do karate, but I do like kung fu movies a lot. I've not been watching them a lot lately. There's only so many good ones, and then you kind of run out. But this was really well done. It's like from a cast of people that I feel like you haven't seen do anything. Like William Zabka, I think is the Zabka, I think is his name. That's Johnny Lawrence. And I remember seeing him in Karate Kid, and then I remember seeing him in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. Oh, and I think he was also in National Lampoon's European Vacation. I think he was the daughter's boyfriend. But I just don't remember seeing him in anything else. And all of those movies were from my childhood, and I'm in my 40s, right? So he, and I don't know that he disappeared, because as Hannah said, he seems like he's still a sharp actor. So maybe he, you know, he's been around, but I just haven't seen him. And then Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio was in the Karate Kid movies. He was in My Cousin Vinny. And then he was in some guitar movie where he was like a real guitar guy. And then that's it. And I don't feel like I saw him in anything else. All this time, he's been gone. And then the bad guys have completely been gone. But they come back like they didn't go anywhere. And I just love it. I love it. I'm so fired up about it. I want to become friends with those guys. I don't think it's going to happen. But of all the things that I criticize of TV shows and music, this was great. It felt good. It was, I don't know. It's just like, this is what I want TV to be. There were a couple of things in the last episode or towards the last season that I didn't like. I mean, you know, Elizabeth, I forget, maybe Berkeley is her last name. She was from Saved by the Bell, Jessie from Saved by the Bell. She came back in the final episode, final season, just, you know, came back. She didn't come back. She wasn't in any of the movies, but she made an appearance, which was fun to see her. I always liked her, and I feel like she got done wrong. I feel like they exploited her. She was in Saved by the Bell. All these little horny kids grew up watching Saved by the Bell, and then they were like, oh, if you did show, and I don't know if this is what happened, but it feels like it is. It goes, hey, all those little kids that grew up watching you throughout high school, they'd love to see you naked now. And you know what? We did want to. We did want to. I'm not speaking for everyone. Speaking for myself. At that time, I was very excited about it. But I think it ruined her. But at the same time, what did anybody do from Saved by the Bell? I mean, Tiffany Amber Thiessen had a little bit of a career. A.C. Slater was the most successful, but I don't even know what he's doing. And then Dustin Diamond took a real dark turn and has passed. Lark Voorhees, I think is her name. I saw her in the movie How High with Method Man and Redman. And I liked her in that, but that was about the only thing I saw her in. Apparently, she's had some medical issues. Yeah, and then Zach, I don't know. I think he went on to do some things, but watching Saved by the Bell when I was a kid, I would have thought that Zach Morris would have gone on to be the world's most famous actor. So it's exciting to see Jessie pop up. But her character gave another character like a tarot card reading. And I was like, we don't need that in here. We don't need a tarot card reading. And then there was another scene where Johnny goes to visit a preacher. And I felt like, and the preacher was one of the old, you know, Cobra Kai guys. And I don't know. I didn't care for his advice. Johnny was seeking guidance because his girlfriend was pregnant, and he was going to the preacher basically to see if he should get married, or he was worried that God was going to punish him for not being married. And maybe punish is the wrong word, but I just was like, why don't you just advise him to get married? That's where I was at. Just say, hey, just do it. Just get married. That was all. But those were, and I'm sure this was just season 6 that I just watched. And I watched the others years ago. I can't remember the last time I even watched this show. So I'm sure there were other things along the way. But for the most part, I liked it. I thought it was a hot show. Anytime they pull out tarot cards, I'm like, I'm out, guys. I'm out. Like I watched a band play one time, and I really liked them, and I wanted to support them. It was a duo, and I wanted to watch them. This was in Opelika. I was at a cigar shop, and they were playing. And I wanted to support them because I really enjoyed the music they played. And I went to the cigar shop to have a cigar and talk to my friends. And they were playing on the patio, and that's where I was smoking. And when I walked out there, everybody seemed to be listening to the music. But that's not why I was there. So I talked to my friends, but I enjoyed the music in the background. And so when I was done, I wanted to support them. So I bought a poster from them And I was like, this is a cool looking poster, isn't it? And my buddy was like, yeah, it's like a tarot card. And I go, ah, it is like a tarot card. So I had to throw it away. I did still support them by paying them money, but I did throw it in the trash can, which is too bad. But yeah, Cobra Kai is a really fun show. I'm into it. I recommend it. And I don't think there were any fireworks in the whole show, which is exciting. All right, I got a couple. Here's a couple of things. I watched an episode. Now, one of my favorite shows of all time is a reality show called Restaurant Impossible. I love this show. Robert Irvine, I don't know if you guys have watched it, but that show has been going for years. My old roommate, Danny, back when I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, and I've been gone from Charleston for 11 years now, and the show is still going. But back when I was in Charleston, my roommate, Danny, got me into Restaurant Impossible. It's a great show. It's, you know, the more I've gotten into entertainment, the more I've done shows here and there, especially game shows that I've done, because I did Hollywood Squares most recently, but I also did Nashville Squares. I did After Midnight, and I did, there was another one called Nice Ones that I did. Nobody saw that. But I did these shows, and you start to see some of the inner workings and how things are manufactured. So when I watch Restaurant Impossible now, I can go, well, that's fake. They've ramp that up for effect, but I still love the show. And recently we watched one, and it took place in Opelika, Alabama. And we didn't even, it didn't say it on the title. We just happened to pop up, and they were like, this week we're going to Opelika, Alabama. And I was like, what? And I get excited, because I'm like, oh, Opelika, Alabama. I mean, that's where I grew up. I probably know this place. And then they just keep, they talk about, they're like, in the intro, they're like, oh, here we're going to this, and this week we're going to small town Opelika. And they're just driving. They're like, oh, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Where are we? And I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, Opelika's small, but it's not the middle of nowhere. It's not nothing. So I look up this place. This place is called Walter's Gas and Grill. And I'm like, I look at the map, and it's out on Highway 80, past Beauregard. Like, I lived on, my trailer park was on Highway 51, before you get to the Beauregard Stop and Shop. And this place is on down past that, getting on Highway 80 in Marvin. And I'm like, but the address says Opelika. It has actually made me rethink everything I thought about my hometown in a way. Because people will go, was your town, did it just have one high school? And I'm like, yeah, we had Opelika, and then Beauregard had a school, and then there was a town called Beulah that had a school. But based on this definition, if Walter's Gas and Grill is considered Opelika, then Beauregard's got to be considered Opelika, and therefore Beulah has to be considered Opelika. So does that mean we had three high schools? I mean, by this definition, and I mean this is close, almost closer to Auburn than it is. I mean, there's places out here I didn't even know. Like, I knew this was called Marvin Parkway, but I didn't know there was a community called Marvin. And then we got Watley Cross. I got Little Texas out here. I didn't even know these places existed, and this is where I grew up. And it's like, don't. So they just milking Opelika like this for some kind of effect, to be like, oh, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, you didn't even show downtown Opelika. There's a lot of charm to downtown Opelika. They could have gave a shout out to the town, but instead they have to make, and Walt, they gave Walters the worst makeover I've ever seen. I've seen them do a lot of makeovers, and I usually like what they do, because if you've not seen the show, this is what they do. They go in, people write in when a restaurant is failing, and they go, hey, our restaurant's really failing, and we need help. So Robert, who's a chef, and I think Robert is a great guy. I don't know Robert, but just based on him on the show and some other things that I've seen him do via social media, I bet Robert's a great dude. I think he is. So I've seen him do really great makeovers, and Robert goes into the thing, and he tries to figure out why the restaurant's failing, and he tries to help them learn to manage the restaurant better, help them cook better, and then renovate the restaurant so that they have a better chance of success. But this was the worst makeover they've ever done. His two workers, his stylist, the redheaded guy stylist, and his other guy, Tom. I'm not even sure Tom does any work. I think Tom, I mean, like, they do things like Tom shows up to the thing with his tool belt on. Now, I'm not a contractor, so I don't know, but I bet everybody doesn't show up with the tool belt on. Maybe when they're getting to work, they put the tool belt on, but he shows up, like, out of the car with it on. And you know, I think that's just for effect, but it was a bad makeover, and I feel like he also gave them, like, what he always does is he tastes their food and says how disgusting everything is. Sometimes he'll say, this is pretty good, this is pretty good, but he didn't like any of the stuff at Walter's Gas and Grill. And then he'll cook a couple of dishes for them, show them how easy it is, and then show them what the food cost is and what they can charge for it. And I just feel like Robert's a little out of touch. Me and Hannah talked about it. We think his palate's a little refined because he's going to these small towns. And I go to small town places and eat food, and sometimes I don't think it's good because it's mostly all fried. But people that live there go to those restaurants all the time, and they love the food there. So just because Robert thinks the food's disgusting doesn't mean it's disgusting. It just, well, it could be still disgusting, but doesn't mean everybody else thinks it's that. Like, one place I watched the other day, they had a Reuben, and he made a beet Reuben sandwich, which was vegetarian. And the people working there said it was good, it was delicious. But I'm like, listen, I love Reubens, and I love beets. I really love beets. I like to juice them. I like to cut them up and cook them on the frying pan. Sometimes if I get the golden beets, I'll cut them up, put them in a little rice. I'm growing a bunch of beets. I love the way beets taste. I'm always astonished that my kids don't like beets. I get it because I didn't like anything when I was a kid, but I think beets are so delicious. Anyway, I love them. I would never in my entire life go into a restaurant and order a beet Reuben. I'm not ordering any beet sandwiches. I don't like vegetarian sandwiches first off, but if I do, like, I might order, no, I won't, but I have eaten bean burgers in my life, and I don't mind them. Like, I cooked lentil burgers one time at my house. I didn't mind them. It didn't bother me. I thought, you know, you put it on bread, lettuce, and tomato. But the fact is, I like beef. I think beef is good for you. I think if you order a good quality beef, I think probably the worst part about a hamburger is the bread. Depending on what you're getting, if you go to a restaurant, the worst part of the sandwich is probably the bread. And then if they have onions on the sandwich, this is what I've been told via the internet. So who knows? But that onions have a real ability to soak up things. So, like, soak up negative things, bad things. And I don't even know what those things are. I'm being vague because I don't know. But what I'm saying is, they say that if you cut an onion, use all of the onion or throw away the part that you don't use. Don't slice an onion and then put the slices in the fridge because it will soak up bad stuff out of the fridge and then you don't need to eat that. So that's what I think about at a restaurant. I bet there's tons of sliced onions back there. Unless they slice them that day, which you can't guarantee, I wouldn't eat them. And then depending on the cheese, who knows what kind of cheese you're getting? Who knows how old the lettuce is? Who knows how old the tomatoes are? I'm told with store-bought vegetables, you're practically getting no vitamins because by the time they're harvested and shipped and made to the store, by the time you get to them, there's no nutritional value left in them. I don't know if that's true. I don't have a way to measure nutritional value in vegetables, but that's what I'm told. So I would never, I think the best thing about a hamburger when you go get it is the beef. The beef is the most, if you're getting good beef, is the most vitamin rich stuff. But also, whatever the cows eat is all inside their body. So if you're feeding them GMO corn, then that's probably all in their body. GMO grains, and everything's probably GMO. We're all dying here. But so it gives a bad makeover to Walter's Gas and Grill, and then he gives some bad dishes that I'm like, listen, nobody in that community is going to be eating that. And he's like, this costs you $3. You're going to sell it for 15. I'm like, nobody's going to buy it for 15. My dad went to a restaurant. He said, I went to this store over here that charged me $9 for a hot dog. I never went back. And he said, I went there right before I retired. My dad's been retired like, I don't know, 15 years. So the restaurant's still open. So all this time, one time he got a bad thing and then he didn't go back. And that's what will happen. So I just think Robert Irvine needs, you know, somebody like me to go in there with him when he's eating this food. And that way when he goes, this is disgusting, he can give it to me, I can try it, I can go, listen, this is not good, it's not good to you, but this is tasty enough for people to eat. This is tasty enough for people to dip into a sauce and enjoy the way this tastes. He needs me in there to do that. That's what I think. That's how you're going to enhance the show. Have Dusty, the special taste tester, but I won't eat any of the pork stuff. And I won't eat a lot of weird gravies. And then I felt like they gave Walters a bad makeover. It just, I don't know. It was a gas station and they all seemed so LA in there. They were like, what is this? A restaurant and a gas station? I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, guys, we're just utilizing space, okay? They had the space here, so they put, Robert Irvine would lose his mind at some of the restaurants that I go to and enjoy. I mean, in my hometown, I have a couple of hometowns, Opelika and Pennon. And in Pennon, there was the gas station, Larry Edge's Grocery. And Larry Edge had a slab of bologna just sitting out. And you go in and get a bologna sandwich, and he would just pull out a knife, wipe it off, and slice you some bologna and put it on a sandwich. I mean, especially when I see Robert like being like, this is a DHEC violation or whatever, you know, I'm like, dude, you have no idea what's going on out here. Some of them were okay with, others were not okay with. But he goes, why don't you have a host in here? Who's sitting the tables? I'm like, there's 10 tables in this restaurant. There's no need for a host. He goes, why are your servers making salads? I'm like, I worked at a legit restaurant and I made salads all the time. We had a salad guy, but I often had to make my own salads. I just feel like he's a little out of touch. The restaurants he's been dealing with are a little fine dining, and I think he needs to get a grip. That's what I think. But two shows I want to recommend, Cobra Kai, Restaurant Impossible. Also, other cooking shows that I enjoy, just while we're at it, Chopped is really good. You got to go old with some of these shows. I feel like they started to get, I don't know, they started to get real like PC with it and whatever, and trying to throw unnecessary themes in there all the time. But Chopped, How to Beat Bobby Flay is a good one. And then there was a, I like Guy's Grocery Games. Diners, drive-ins, and Diners, Dives, and Drive-Ins, the Triple D. I like that show. Guy's Grocery Games, a fun show. Guy's Grocery Games is probably my least favorite of the ones I'm listing, but I'll still watch it. And then what is the other? There's one, Bobby Flay, he has this trio of people. It's a little bit of a lame intro, but it is pretty fun. Where the, you know, he has, I don't know, he has three people compete against one person as chefs, and it's really good. I love cooking shows. But you know what I did? I've been on a little, I've been on a little health journey. I did a fast, so I did a 2.5 day fast. Actually, I went to my friend Connor Larson, got married, and I went to his wedding, and I ate food at his wedding. And I probably, and I would say we left about 8:30. I would say I stopped eating at about 8 p.m. on a Thursday, and then on Friday, I didn't eat at all. I just did water, and I did one green tea, and it was a non-caffeinated tea. And then on Tuesday, and then on Saturday, the next day, I did no eating, just water and one green tea, uncaffeinated. And then I ate, I had juice about 8:30 Sunday morning. So that's about a 2.5 day fast. That's the longest I've ever done, but I've also done that fast three times in my life. Typically, I'll just do a 1 day fast. I'll like stop eating at some point in the night and then eat the next day around that same time. But this is the longest I've done, but I've also like done that before. And I felt like it was very good, very productive. I'm just trying to feel better. Sometimes I feel like I just, you know, I just eat too much and I just think my digestive system needs a break. And that's what I did, and it felt really good. I recommend it. I can't, you know, give medical advice, and for sure wouldn't give medical advice, because often feels like my digestive system is a wreck. And I try all sorts of things, and sometimes I feel, for a long extended period of time, I'll feel so on track that I'll be like, well, yeah, I got it now. I've got it wrapped up. I'm ready to tell people what I'm doing so that they can feel better too. And then, you know, I'll really backtrack and I'll really go to a bad place. And that's kind of where I had gotten to recently, where I just was burping a lot and I just was feeling really bad. So I finally just broke down, did the fast. I watched a documentary on fasting. And the guy, the documentary I watched, these guys did a 40-day fast. They did 20 days of just water and then 20 days of juice. Now, I've done a longer juice fast. I think I've done a 7-day juice fast before. But I didn't really see any results with that. I wasn't very happy with that. But I do think it's still good, though. I think it's good just to give your body a rest. So I did a two and a half day water fast, and then I did yesterday. I did mostly fruit until the night, and then I made kind of a bone broth. I made myself a pho, I guess is how you pronounce it. I like to pronounce it pho. I feel like pho is better. It sounds better than saying pho. But apparently it's pronounced pho, but like a broth with rice noodles and a little bit of meat and peppers. And I made my own. I made my own homemade pho with some beef broth I had here. It was not as good as you would get from a good place like that, but it was very good. It was still very tasty. And, we enjoyed it. I like getting into that stuff. That's why I like having a garden. I like, you know, growing my own herbs, because I put rosemary, oregano, thyme, basil, mint, spearmint, all in there that I grew myself. I put garlic in there that I grew myself. I put peppers in there that I grew myself. So it's nice to have all these things that you grow. Oh, kale. I put kale in there that I grew myself. It's nice to have all these things to be able to put into your any dish that you cook. I mean, last week I was eating beef liver. I don't think I've talked about that at all, but I ordered this beef liver from a farm and I cooked it. What I did was I chopped up about a half an onion. I looked up some stuff, half an onion, garlic, and then all those, well, not all the same herbs, oregano, thyme, and rosemary. I put in the dish as I cooked it with a little butter, and I loved it. I ate quite a bit of beef liver last week. I loved it. I had blood results done or blood work done once before, and it said, that I had a little bit of elevated levels of liver, and I looked up some things on things to do to help your liver. And one of the things they say is beef liver, eating beef liver. So, or chicken liver too, I think will work. But I like beef liver a lot more than I like chicken liver. I find the beef liver to be close to like a steak. And I ate quite a bit of that last week and I loved it. And overall, after the fast, I do feel very good. The first day of the fast, I honestly was not even hungry. So I wasn't sure how long I was going to go. When I got to day two, I was a little hungry, but I was like, it's still not bad. I still don't feel so hungry. So I just kept it going. By day three, I really was getting hungry. But I think by day three, I was like, well, I know that I'm going to eat today. So I started to, like, my kids were eating these graham crackers and I could smell the graham crackers from across the room. And I love fasting. The Bible tells us to fast. I know some people have medical things and they can't fast. And if you're pregnant, breastfeeding, they say don't do it. But I love fasting. I don't do it enough. It is hard. But I love it. I think it has real medical benefits. It has real spiritual benefits. Back in the day, even when I was a drinker, I would fast. And, but I was single and no kids. And I would fast. And I've quit smoking cigarettes at times through a fast. Just one day of fasting and no cigarettes. And I quit smoking. I came off Prilosec from fasting. It's just like, and then during those times I do it less now. You would think I would do it more, but it's harder because I have, family and I have people that need me at all times. But, I would, during those times when I was a drinker and when I was, single, I would pray. I would spend most of my day reading my Bible and praying during a fast. And I felt like it would draw me very close to God. And I really thought those things were great. I think intermittent fasting is good too. But I think that there's something about, especially 2 days, at least for me, because that's the most I've done. But for me, it's like, all right, you wake up one day and then you decide, okay, today I'm not going to eat. And then you go to bed hungry that night. And then you wake up the next day and you don't eat again. And you go all the way through that day and you go to bed hungry again. I think there's something powerful about that. My sister was saying to me that they say when you get through the third day, you're not even hungry anymore and you have lots of energy. And I don't doubt that. But I had a lot to do today. And I was worried that if I fasted yesterday, that today I would be breaking the fast and that I wouldn't be where I needed to be. And I wanted to just be clear-headed and ready to go because I have several things to do today. And then after the podcast, we're going to drive down to Birmingham. We're going to cut the drive in half, stay at a hotel, and I'm going to meet with my friend Joey tomorrow. And that's exciting. But I love it. I recommend fasting on a not medical level. I feel like I always see people on YouTube doing this. They go, I'm not giving medical advice. So I feel like you have to do that. So that's why I say it. I don't want people fasting and then suing me. But they, people also talking about putting salt in your water. Or I drink out of a copper mug a lot of times. I like to put water in a copper mug overnight. And then they say it's supposed to structure the water, and structured water is good for us. I have, you know, a filtration system for water at my house. And then I, not for my whole house, but I have a Berkey where I pour the water into. And then I, I'll put salt in my water, not in the copper mug overnight, but I'll put a little salt in there. Not table salt, but different kinds of sea salts. Baja Gold, I think, is the salt that I use the most. I really like it. You know, people say that salt is demonized in a way that sugar should actually be demonized, and that it's salt is not the problem. And I don't know, but they tell you, they told, somebody said to me, they go, you know, if you have a heart attack or you go to the hospital, the first thing they do is put you on an IV drip full of saline water. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I was told. And I just think, I've said this before, but when I was in school, they used to talk about, you know, people traveling in the desert, and that they would, salt would be a commodity that they would trade. And I would be like, I would think, well, why would they have salt? And they would say, well, because salt helps your body absorb water. And I go, well, why don't we put salt in our water now? And they say, because we have enough salt in all the food that we eat that we don't need any extra salt. And I think that could be true if you, you know, are eating only at restaurants and processed foods. But I don't know. If you're just eating fresh foods, I don't know if there's a lot of salt in there. And I don't know. I don't know anything. But I'm just telling you what I process in my mind after, you know, watching a lot of videos. I barely am on TikTok these days because I'm also almost at a month of no cigars and no weed. So I'm about as clear-headed as I'm going to get, I think, even though I have taken a lot of vitamins today, which is probably too much. Sometimes I take too many of my vitamins all at once. I don't feel like it does me well. Anyway, so this is another thing that I want to talk about. I've talked about Tammy's in McMinnville a lot of times. Tammy's restaurant in McMinnville. I've talked about it numerous times. I love Tammy's. I think their food is good. I think it's, you know, a greasy spoon type of place where they have burgers and hot dogs and things like that. But I do like their burgers, and I think it's a good spot. I think it's one of those spots where it's like, it is what it is, right? They're not claiming to be anything else. And I've talked about for a long time how they had horrible signs out front, how their signs were no good and they need better signs. And I don't know if word got back to Tammy's or not, but Tammy's got new signs. But I gotta say, the signs are not good. The new ones are not good. And I hope that people from Tammy's aren't listening, and that maybe it's just somebody that eats at Tammy's that knows Tammy's. But these signs are not good. They've made them, they've gone from kind of disgusting signs that say 100% chuck, which I just think sounds gross. They've gone from that till nearly non-readable signs. I don't know, is it called illegible? You almost can't read it. It's Tammy's is, it's a black sign now with red lettering. And if you get up close to it, it looks pretty good. If you get up close to it, it looks good. But from the road, you can't see it. And then they have weird fonts on the other two little signs. And you can't read them from the road. It's like, I think they went in the wrong direction. They went from, look, because I first thought, when I first saw Tammy's, I didn't realize Tammy's was a restaurant because of this 100% chuck sign. I thought they just sold beef. So I went in there just to buy some beef. And they were like, no, we don't just sell it like that. I mean, we sell hamburgers and stuff. And I go, oh, okay. But now you can't even read what it is. I don't know if any listener is a friend of Tammy's or what, and would like to send me an email. I want to know if Tammy's would be open to having someone help design them a new sign and maybe pay for it. I could fundraise. I don't know how much a sign costs, so I don't want to say I'll pay for it. But maybe I could fundraise and raise a little money to buy Tammy's a new sign. I'll pitch in. And if it's not that expensive, I'll buy it. But we could find a designer to design Tammy's a really good sign, because there's already this gym next to Tammy's that came in. They renovated this gym, and then they put a fence up. And I'm sure Tammy's was using their parking lot before. And I don't blame the gym, because the gym's just claiming their property. I'm all about property ownership and claiming the right to your land. We put out a video of me marking the property between my house and my neighbor's house one time, and it went viral, and people trash me all the time because of that video, because I'm marking the property. I am all about private property. I am all about it. I don't think there is anything better for our society than for us to own our own property and to be able to do whatever we want on our property. The government should not be charging us property tax, not to go back to this, should not be charging us property tax. Property tax is a crime. It should be illegal. And anybody that justifies it needs a lesson in private property ownership. And they got mad when I marked the line. People act like I'm such a jerk for marking the line. And I'm like, listen, my neighbor's house is a rental house, first off, and I just want them to know where my line goes to. I used to have a stob in there. The stob is gone now. I just put it back. That's all I'm doing. I had a survey done, and I just want people to understand that, you know, what my property is. And anyway, sorry. So Tammy, this gym marked their property, and it felt like it cut Tammy's parking lot in half. So I care about Tammy's restaurant. I want to see it thrive. There's so many restaurants that open in McMinnville. Well, not so many that open, but there's so many that are there that I feel like they don't do what Tammy's is doing. Tammy's gives you the meal that you ask for at a decent price. They don't overcharge, and I like the place. But I think they've gone in the wrong direction with their signs, and I just want to try to get us to remedy this Tammy's sign situation. There is a new burger place that I saw the other day that opened on the other side of town, so we'll have to try that out soon enough. But the new kind of fancy restaurant that doesn't cater to kids that we tried to go to, that one podcast episode that I did where I complained about that, I don't know how well they're doing. I don't see a lot of people in there. They don't seem packed. And I don't have any interest in going there. Begonias is still good. I got pizza there the other day. My friend Joey came to visit us at the cabin, and I got pizza there. And Begonias is still popping. McMinnville's great. I talked a little bit about it last week, but I think my land management project is shaping up. I think I have a few people coming out there to do some stuff, and I'm really excited about this whole land management project. I think we're going to get rid of the invasive plants, and I'm really going to try to open the woods up. I want to open them up. I had them mulched before, but it's very hilly, but I want to open it up to get some sunlight in on some of those bigger trees, in on some of those oaks, bring some sunlight in there, get that going, make the wildlife happy. I want the birds to come. The birds love the oaks. I forget who it was who sent me this book, but it's a podcast listener sent me a book about all about oaks, and I read most of it, and that's pretty good for me to read most of a book. So that happened, and it's very exciting. And But yeah, I'm going to go. I should have more to talk about next week. Because I am going to go to, I thought all my complaining would take longer, but I am going to Gulf Shores this week with my family. And that should be exciting. The last time we went to the beach was Dauphin Island, and I came away with a pretty good podcast story and also a pretty good joke. My joke is really starting to shape up now. I got a new hour that I'm working on, and I'm building up. So I'll be in Vegas at the end of the month. I'll be in Winnipeg, Canada at the end of the month. And I got another show at Zany's at the end of the month. And then, starting August, I mean, it really gets going. I mean, we're back at it. The Netflix special will be out on July 29th, and then we'll be back at it. And I got a new hour that I'm working on that I really like, but I'm very excited for people to see the Netflix special. Now, I want to tell people that, you know, this happened with Nate's last special came out. When Nate's last special came out, a lot of people in the Nate Land group kept posting, we've already seen all these jokes. We've already seen all these jokes. And I'm like, well, that's how comedy works. If you saw a live show of mine this year, unless it was in the past, well, I don't know. If you saw a live show of mine last year, let's say, then yeah, it will be what you saw because that's what I was working on building. There'll be some changes because I was always building and changing it. But it will be what you saw because that's the special I'm working on. That's how comedy works. With music, you write the music, you put out the album, and then you tour the album. With comedy, the tour is building the hour to record and then release. And then the next time you come to see me, it will be a new hour. Like you watch the special and you go, all right, that's the greatest comedy special I've ever seen. Now I'll go see this guy live, and it'll be another great hour of comedy that you're going to love. So there it is. You know, somebody got mad at me in the comments because I always say on Nateland podcast, I always say, hey, we're all professional comedians here, guys. And this guy got mad, and he goes, if you have to tell people how great you are all the time, maybe you're not all that great. And I'm not. I'm joking when I say the greatest comedy special of all time, partly. I mean, it is very good. But I'm also like, what I'm saying on the podcast is because it's called the Nate Land Podcast, often people listen and they see Nate and then they see these other guys. So I'm just letting people know. I'm like, hey, you know, we're all professional comedians. So if Nate's not there, sure, you're not maybe not getting what you thought you were tuning in for, but you're still getting three great professional comedians. So that's all I'm saying. And but I like when people trash me in the comments on Nateland. I think it's really funny. I'm just trying. There's so many things that I mean, believe me, there's so many truths and so many things that I want to talk about. But I just can't get into it because people get so fired up about such little conspiracies that I talk about that they couldn't handle anything deeper. And some of these things they're not theories, at least. They may be conspiracies, but they're not theories. But some of them, it's just like, are you paying attention or are you not paying attention? I mean, it's like, during COVID, I used to go on and on about COVID, and I still don't stop talking about it because people need to be reminded at all times what we went through during that time. It's my opinion that we need to all be reminded what we went through. And but I would go on and on about things and things that I was right about, things that I was proven to be right about. I mean, I was anti-mask from not day one, but from 2 weeks to slow the spread. And then after that, I was out. I supported things in the beginning because I was like, hey, I don't know what's happening. But as information starts to come out, we start to go, all right, now we do know what's happening. So let's be anti some of this stuff. Anyway, so just be paying attention out here because it's not about... It's not about this or that. It's I don't know. I don't even know how to say it without getting, but it's, I don't think anyone's on the side of the people is all I can say. It's like, I just think us, the people, we're out here, we're on our own. We're on our own. We have Jesus and that's it. That's all we need. And that's all we have. Okay. So I appreciate you guys. We're having a good time. Thank you.